That's Mel Brooks with Anne Bancroft. I don't know that Jerry Sternbach necessarily was the musical director for that bit, but yes, for Mel Brooks, for Carol Burnett, for Melissa Manchester, for Adam Lambert. Yeah, Adam Lambert, Nancy Wilson, Josh Groban. We would be here for an hour if I could list all the names. Jerry, how you doing?
Hello, sir. Well, I'm good. I'm sitting in a parking lot in the California Center for the Performing Arts in Escondido, where we're going to be doing a little review called There's a Place for Us, featuring Broadway music written by Jewish composers. And I'm here sitting because I knew I was anticipating your phone call before we have our sound check and our tech starting at noon. So here I am in a parking lot in Escondido, and you're somewhere in near Chicago somewhere.
So somewhere, yeah.
The miracles of modern technology. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm always somewhere. And I left out a name. I left out Frank Ferrante. And I want to talk about that a little bit. So Frank plays Groucho Marx all over the country. And you travel with him. Yeah. Playing the piano and like Lydia, oh, Lydia, have you seen Lydia? And many other
songs. Fredonia, we do lots of things from the movies. We do great stuff. We like he is a brilliant, brilliant man, and the thrills of my life has been playing for Frank. So I'm very happy that he trusts me, and we have a lot of fun. And we're like kids in a play box in a sandbox when we do the show. It's like really a lot of fun.
And that's exactly what I want to ask about. So I'm going to put Frank in the same category as Mel Brooks, which isn't bad. When a performer improvises, and I suspect that Mel Brooks would occasionally improvise, and that now you're always
even planned improvisation, but the thing is that those are two people. As a matter of fact, those type of people, like even Carrie Fisher, who I work with as well, and Carol, they're truly authentic people. They're in the moment. They're completely in the moment, and the thing is that you always know you have the anchor of what to go back to within the material, but you let the space and the continuum and the people that you're with and the audience and that dictates the progress of the comedy and the storytelling and the show that we do. So it's great.
You know, what I really should have done was introduce you for the people you've not worked with in show business. Because that would be much shorter.
Well, that's a lot.
No. I don't know about that. So you are, among other things, the recipient of the Joel Hirshhorn Award for the LA Drama Circle, the multiple.
Oh my God, you've been doing your homework.
Yeah.
That's a nice guy.
Yeah. Lots and lots of awards. And for good reason. I mean, you're one of those names, Jerry, that, yes, the average person may not know that you were on stage as a pianist for Stephen Sondheim's 75th birthday concert. They may not know you.
Another thrill.
So of all the things you've done, and the list is long, what is your favorite?
Oh my gosh. You know, Stephen, it's like, you know, picking your favorite children. You can't really do that. What you do is everything has like a story, and everything has a moment, and everything has like a great thing about it. I have things that were just thrilling to be a part of. You know, the 75th birthday tribute, for example, at the Hollywood Bowl, where this is like one of those synergistic events. I had literally the day I broke up with someone, and they drove out of the driveway. An hour later, I got a phone call and saying, "Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. We would like to know if you would like to be the pianist for the Sondheim tribute at the Hollywood Bowl." And I said, "Let me think a second." But it was like one of those synergistic moments where a door closes and the ceiling and the sky opens up for something new. And I felt that it was a really wonderful thing to do, and it was a very wonderful project to be involved with Barbara Cook and Josh Groban and Angela Lansbury and Len Carew, and Stephen Sondheim was there for part of the rehearsals. And can I share a wonderful story with that? I had, if you can believe it, a bald guy. I had long hair, no hair on top of my head, and a ponytail. Okay, gross beyond. And I had friends one who had known that I had broken up with this gentleman, and they said, "We want to do a makeover. We think that, you know, this is going to be your big deal. These friends who were in the chorus, the ensemble. This is going to be a big deal for you. This is a big, you know, break for you. It's your Hollywood Bowl debut, LA Philharmonic, blah, blah, blah. We would like to do a makeover." And I think, and one of the girls, Krista, said, we think you should shave your head. We think you have that possibility of looking good with a bald head. So we had the dress run through at Screenland Studios in Burbank. And I had brought my razor, you know, one of those clipper razor things. And in the cast also was this guy who was a great dancer who used to be a Marine. And we went into the other rehearsal room, and they turned me around and shaved me bald. And somewhere in a landfill in Burbank is all of my hair, if it hasn't decomposed. And I walked back into the room where we were had the ones where they were giving notes, the director and Stephen Sondheim and Paul Gimignani were the new, that wonderful, wonderful musical director. And they all look at me, and Stephen Sondheim sings to me, you've changed, you're daring, you're different in the woods. He sang to me from a song from Into the Woods, because I walked in having a transition from mullet to bald pate. So I have that thing in my resume. Have been sung to by Stephen Sondheim.
And Stephen Sondheim, we just had Liz Calloway on the show, and she sings she sings the music of Sondheim, and has been, I mean, she worked with him and for him for decades, just about. So she even conceded on the radio that Sondheim was kind of grouchy, but apparently not to you.
Well, he is one of those people, you know, we should allow people who are geniuses to be grouchy. We should give them the space to be, sometimes they're moody if they're mean. And I've worked with some people who've been considered famous, and I will not name names, Jennifer Holliday, but we will have the people who have been really they were not nice to me. And they were not nice, and I've heard other stories, but you know, you have to bless their hearts and say that people will do, be who they are, and they've been through a lot, and you have to give them grace. And I hope that if someone quotes me, that they'll also quote that I said that you have to give people who have a certain, those type of considerations in their life, a bit of grace in their process.
Question for you, Jerry. How many children do you have?
How many children? I have no children.
Now, hang on. So you said that all of these people, it would be like picking your favorite child, but the thing is, you don't have any children.
I don't have children, but I have so many things that are close to my heart and projects that have been close to my heart. And you always have to find, you know, the worst thing, like, there's some projects, of course, Steve, that I've said I've done, and that someone would say, oh, how are you doing? Having a good time? Do you like the project? And I said, you know what? The check cleared. And those are the things that you could say about certain projects, but there's some things that you're doing, even this project that I'm doing today and tomorrow in Escondido and La Jolla, this show called There's a Place for Us, which is a wonderful little five-person review. And we're having a joy because we're all committed to what it is. And I always will love projects in which you can elevate yourself and be elevated and be inspired. And working there and working at Valley Outreach Synagogue, those are all those 500 families are my children. I love those people. And working with Carol was a joy, and Carrie Fisher was a joy. Those are I don't know if I would consider them children, but those are people that I became involved in the process, and that's the gift. When you're working with someone like Mel or someone like Carol, when we did those Hawaii 5-0 songs, or when we did Carrie Fisher's show Wishful Drinking at the Geffen in Los Angeles, may she rest in peace, the process, the gift is being part of the process. And that's also, even with Frank, when we do it, you always feel like it's a new process and you're going to be seeing what will happen today. And that's the roller coaster makes it exciting, and the process makes it exciting and fulfilling.
Well, what I love is that when I work with Carol, when I work with Mel, I mean, who does that call? He's talking about Carol Burnett. He's talking about Mel Brooks. And it's like, first name basis, no problem. I want to hear what you did with Vampire Virgins. I want to hear what that's about. And what you did, I mean, you worked with everyone, including the circus, the Ringling Brothers Circus. We'll hear about that. We'll hear about it when we come back.
Oh, my God. We're going to be running out of time. So you'll have to bring me back because I want to be timely. I don't like to be late. But you wanted to ask about the circus first, or do you want to ask about something else?
Well, I will ask both those things. But we need to break for commercials, and we'll do that.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to pay the bills.
Commercials. All right, go.
Jerry Sternbach is here. Hit it. Okay, I will. Well, that's a story. Jerry Sternbach is here. I know, Jerry. I have to also acknowledge
the lyrics are by Faye Greenberg, one of my favorite collaborators ever. Faye Greenberg Lawrence, who wrote High School Musical with her husband David Lawrence, etc. Wonderful lyricist, and that song was what a surprise! What a lovely surprise to hear that pop up on the air. That's available on YouTube, folks. Listen to it. It's another proud moment, another synergistic moment, if you will.
All right, let's explain what this moment is. Let's set the scene. You're at the TV Land Award Show. And
you're going to have to go back a little step because
go ahead.
I had written the song with Faye Greenberg. We just moved to New York and we were like amongst those young people in the 80s who just show up in New York and we go and it's exciting and all these things are happening and showbiz. And I want to be part of Broadway and you want to be a part of this. And Faye and I had known each other a while. We've been writing on some material and we wrote this song, Mary Tyler Moore. And it was like one of those party songs and one of those things to entertain. And I moved into one of my six sublets, the first of my six sublets in New York, my first year in New York. That's all other story. But one of my neighbors there I rented a piano. I moved the piano and I played her the song. And she loved it. We became very, Laureen was her name. Laureen. I think that's right. I'm hoping I get it right. And anyway, fast forward, I get a call from her. Her husband is Greg Sills. They're producing the TV Land Awards. They're honoring Mary Tyler Moore. I remember you playing the song when I was single and living like in an apartment in a place in New York. And I got the song to them, and they accepted the song. And we're talking the song made it on television in front of the people it's honoring, probably a good 10 years after we wrote it. And it was thrilling, just thrilling to be on stage and have Eric sing it. I taught it to Eric, who we also became well acquainted, and I played for him many times. And Eric to sing it in front of the original cast. And I think that video from the TV Land Awards perfectly captures that moment of what it was. And to have even Eric mention my name and played with Albie Burke playing drums, and the bass player is eluding me right now, but
That's okay.
That happens when you get over 60, you forget people's names.
So it was Eric McCormack of Will and Grace that you're referring to. And did Mary Tyler Moore ever say anything to you? She's in the audience. She accepts a Lifetime Achievement Award.
She did not say anything. She thanked me, I guess, because I was backstage, and Valerie Harper, who I had met before through another friend, Marcia Seligson, and Valerie also came to lots of our shows with Reprise, and Valerie said, "Oh man, here's the guy who wrote the song," like in that act and that thing, and then that was like, "Oh my God." Just kick me now. Pinch me now. One of those pinch me moments.
I'll kick you. That's okay.
That was wonderful. It was just one of those wonderful moments that I held, that you hold in your heart forever. So that's one of those children you hold dear to your heart.
Well, I know you like to clown around, but what did you do with the circus?
Well, Eric Michael Gillette, this very gifted, wonderful singer who I had known in Los Angeles for a while, ended up being the singing ringmaster for the Red Unit of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And they do these two-year cycles of new circuses, and they have the Red Unit and the Blue Unit. But you didn't know that, but this keeps the circus, at least they did. It, you know, the world has changed since we did this all. But they used to, the situation would be the Red Unit would come here and the blue, 1 year, and the Blue Unit would come another year. And then when the Red Unit would come to your city, it would be a different show. It would be a different circus. So we got to write songs for David Lariblé, who was this wonderful clown, and his daughter, who did these trapeze acts. And you would write music for elephants. You write music
what?
For Eric the Saint, because you write music for to accompany certain acts. And it was fun. I would go on the road, and I'd do lead sheets, and we would the band and I would improvise and do things as far as getting things set, and then we'd do the charting. And Eric was a superb singer, and I wrote with one of my other collaborators, Lindy Robbins, doing a lot of the songs for the circuses. And we did, I think we did three 2 year cycles. So that was wonderful and brilliant work. So that answers your question.
Uh-huh. One of the greatest, I think, performer singers, technically, that we have right now, she can sing just about anything, is Jennifer Hudson, a Chicagoan, someone else that you worked with. Tell us about it.
Well, it was very short-lived, but it was one of those things. I have played for Cheryl Lee Ralph and did one of her very first appearances in L.A., in a little review called New Show in Town, and we stayed close. And Cheryl, after Dream Girls and all those things, used to be these wonderful benefits for the cause of AIDS, Diva Simply Singing, where she would have all these wonderful lady friends of hers coming and singing, you know, and doing material on a one night only, and there were unplugged evenings. And she called me and asked me if I would play for Jennifer Hudson. This was before the Dreamgirls movie came out. And she said she wants to sing this song. And I learned the song. And I came in and rehearsed with her and did the song. She was very kind and very generous. And you know, you didn't know who you were playing for. Then all of a sudden you say, oh, then she explodes all over the place as far as being who she is, and very exciting.
Are you surprised?
I knew where I went, as they said.
Are you surprised that you could say, I mean, did you know or have an inkling that she would explode, as you put it?
Well, I think there are people who have an innate gift as far as a charisma. You know, they have like this, that something, and you feel that they channel it in the right way, and they do the work, and they show up, and that they have their own internal spotlight, their own internal battery, if you will. And it's very exciting to see that. And I felt the same with Adam. We all knew that Adam would become really great when we were doing all those upright cabaret things, and his theatrical abilities and his vocal prowess. You knew then, and you know that they're going to be brilliant and that they're going to do wonderful work. I got to go. I'm being waved to by everybody.
That's okay. We got to go, too. We have a newscast, okay. so the timing is good.
Those newscasts, Stephen, Dale, thank you for inviting me, and we'll do another time, all right?
Okay. Thank you, Jerry Sternbach.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
He is so much fun.